Good morning and welcome. Hour number three of our get-together. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning. Welcome. It's a chilly start. And yes, it is a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. A top story, Hunter is above the law. Who says? President Biden. And in the case of presidential pardons, that's all that really matters. You can't be upset that Joe Biden lied. Been lying his whole life. He's a liar and a plagiarist.
Made a career of it.
Oh, we're so surprised and shocked. Get out of here. Yeah. All right, so I'm done with that old topic. Guilty! Guilty! That's what protesters were shouting outside the courtroom as U.S. Marine veteran Daniel Perry arrived in court for his trial regarding the chokehold death of Jordan Neely in New York City. His arrival was just before closing arguments that would be heard by a 12-person jury in the manslaughter trial held at Manhattan Supreme Court. Protesters shouted, guilty, guilty, guilty. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? No. At the 26-year-old had turned himself into authorities May of 23 to face manslaughter charges in Neely's death. Now, Neely's a mentally ill, or was a mentally ill, homeless man with over 40 arrests.
40.
He had allegedly been screaming threats on the F train. Well, what do they expect when they name it that?
Duh.
Before being wrestled to the ground and placed in a chokehold by Penny and two others. Neely lost consciousness during the incident and medics were unable to resuscitate him. The manslaughter charges against Perry followed more than a week of pressure from leftist activists, including Al, you scum-sucking vermin Sharpton.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Him, huh?
Yep. Video footage shows the initial incident with the two men on the floor of the train. So Penny was charged with second-degree manslaughter and criminally negligent in the homicide case. Prosecutors say Penny recklessly killed Neely, who was 30 years old, by maintaining the hold for far longer than Neely could have reasonably been considered a threat, including 51 seconds after his body went limp. Noting that Penny's attorneys argued that their client's actions were justified, they also claimed that there was reasonable doubt the chokehold was what caused the man's death. Now, this was a chokehold that wasn't stopping his airway, correct? This was a carotid artery choke. Yeah, once the person goes limp, historically, you would release it immediately, especially if you're doing it for training purposes.
Well, yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Keep killing your training partners and nobody wants to train with you. And so I'm sure that he relaxed, I would think, his grip. First of all... gets kind of tiring.
Oh, people have no idea.
If you've got to hold it for an extended period of time. Here's the deal, okay? Penny stepped up to be a hero, to be a protector of those who couldn't protect themselves. And there were several witnesses that came forward and said that's exactly what he did. And even the police had interviewed him. And they were fine with it. Yeah, self-defense, and we're good.
Sure.
But it was the squeaky wheels like that bozo Al Sharpton, race baiter, making money off of trying to be a race divider.
He's the worst.
And some of the other bozos that are in the same business are just ne'er-do-wells who've got nothing better to do. Uh-huh. So they go after this guy because, Neely happened to be black and our Marine happened to be white. Yeah, and that's basically what's happening here. And it's sickening. Now, I believe he's going to get off. I believe the jury's going to come back. He's going
to
get
off. I would have to think so.
But what a nightmare this whole family and he has gone through. And I know people go, what about the nightmare of Neely's family? Well, if you've been arrested 40 times, you're 30 years old, you're clearly mentally ill, you have problems and issues. Mm-hmm. These so-called family members that care so much about him need to be responsible for him. They can't come out now after the fact and go, what did you do to our uncle? It's like, really?
How about let's use the lefty line. Out of an abundance of caution after the first 30 arrests, they should have done something.
You think?
Because you got to do something.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Donnie, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. I wouldn't have too much confidence that they're going to let this guy off. I mean, even though he should. This is actually the second in New York area high-profile chokehold death. If you recall the Eric Gardner one, the guy was so big, they couldn't even get their arms around him. And, of course, he died of a heart attack. Nobody knows what this guy died from. He didn't die from the chokehold. George Floyd didn't die because of the knee in the back of his neck. It's just that chokehold's their favorite term right now. And they're talking about all he was trying to do on the floor of the train was breathe. Gee, where did I hear that one before?
Yeah, I mean, look, misapplication of a chokehold can lead to death. Okay, it can be a dangerous situation scenario, especially if you lack some level of expertise. But they can't make him both the expert but also be so sloppy as, you know, he killed the guy.
Right.
Which is it? Is he an expert or did he have some training? He used it to try to calm this guy down and keep him away from harming others. And other health ramifications, like the fact that he was high on some kind of, well, what they call synthetic marijuana, which, look, this is all mind-twisting kind of stuff. It's not even marijuana. That's not what they call it synthetic marijuana. It's not what it is. Anyway, he was all on that. He's already got mental illness. He was screaming at people, I don't care if I go back to jail. I don't care. I mean, it had to be a very frightening scenario for the people on the train.
Absolutely.
And so you had a sheepdog of a human being protecting others, and now you're going to try to put him in prison because there's a difference in the skin color between the hero and the ne'er-do-well?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Sick. Donnie's right. I mean, I'm making an assumption that, you know, look, preponderance of the evidence.
Right.
You know, the whole deal beyond a reasonable doubt, et cetera, et cetera. You look at the, I mean, you look at it and it's like, we know it should have never went to trial. And it wouldn't. If they would have just left it alone, law enforcement was happy and they felt like his answers were sufficient and heartfelt and that he wasn't a threat to anybody. But no. No, the activists had to get active. Yeah. Once you get active, getting a real job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is 8:15. We got the Bob Rose Show on. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a special guest coming up at 8:30. Patrick Joint will be with us representing Toys for Tots in Marion County. Stick around. 97.3 The Sky. All right, what do we need to do? Peruse around lefty land a little bit here, see what the nutbags are saying. We can do that for a little bit.
They're still around.
Yeah. It is 8:21, and you are listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Your top story, Hunter is above the law, apparently. Oh, what is this? The View, they had to put out another legal note.
Wow.
How many have they put out?
Oh, half a dozen almost.
I was going to say half a dozen, probably less than the last couple of weeks.
Wow.
This time it's regarding comments made about Pete Hegseth. He is the one that Trump is choosing for Secretary of Defense, the one that also works for Fox News. And recently it came out he's being accused of bad sexual behavior by a woman who was paid off, I guess you could say, to make it go away because at this time his career was just kind of launching. And so I guess this is all coming back, but
they just can't keep their mouths shut, can they? They just want to say whatever they want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. That's yeah. So Sonny Hostin issued a statement after co-host Whoopi Goldberg, Anna Navarro, and former Trump administration official Alyssa Turncoat Farah Griffin made comments about an old private email from Hegseth's mother to her son accusing him of mistreating his ex-wife. Hegseth's mom has since defended her son and described him as being a good father and husband. Christina Wong from Breitbart reported that Hegseth's mother apologized immediately after she sent the emotional email. So, of course, once again, taken out of context, it made him look bad. He has denied any wrongdoing. His lawyers said he paid the woman in 2023 to head off the threat of a baseless lawsuit. No charges were ever brought. Yeah, it is a little bit complicated because the woman in question apparently is married. And if I have the story right, the story, and I've seen a couple of versions of it, but my understanding is her husband was at the hotel that night and that she didn't return to her room. And then she, I guess, claims that she was either drugged or, you know, had too much alcohol or whatever. And he took sexual advantage of that. All right. He was just recently divorced at the time that this incident allegedly occurred. But, of course, you know, The View is going to use it in the way The View uses things. In one episode, host and co-host Joy Behar issued 4 legal notes after comments they made about Matt Gaetz. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz. So they're constantly having to have these legal disclaimers come out because of what they're saying on the air. That's not a good sign.
No. Think. But we've kind of known that for years now, I guess, that truth isn't really their thing.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Morning Joe has irritated some of his friends at MSNBC.
Ooh.
Like Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Ari Melber. They are PO'd at Morning Joe co-host Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski for meeting with President-elect Donald Trump. Remember Mar-a-Lago?
Oh,
they met
yeah.
after the election. Now, if you thought Trump was like a Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said so.
Would you? Yeah. I mean, based on the things that they said, would you ever really want to be meeting that person? Look, I understand that if you end up in the same room at the same time and it's mostly beyond your control, like maybe it's part of your job or some other event, like I don't think you're expected to pick up and run if you're at the same charitable event because you've said such nasty things about this person. But when you go to an event like that, which you had to be invited to, and try to kiss up and schmooze and be friends with the guy that you said all these awful things about. If those things were true, you wouldn't want to be in the same room with him. You wouldn't accept an invitation from him. And yeah, so his co-hosts are mad. I don't blame them. According to John Nolte in an op-ed piece for Breitbart, he says, as you already know, the married Morning Joe co-anchors spent the better part of a decade using their smug show to smear Donald Trump with every moniker for evil they and their guests could come up with. Depending on the day, Trump was a Russian spy, the second coming of Hitler, a unique threat to democracy, wow. a fascist, a dictator, an authoritarian. Just last year, Joe Scarborough flat out said that if Trump wins the presidency in 2024, he will execute whoever he's allowed to imprison, execute, drive from the country.
Execute. Just randomly executing people that he doesn't like.
Okay. Then Trump wins. Joe and Mika slip on down to Florida to meet with Orange Adolph at Mari Eagle's Nest.
Oh,
get it?
My
get it?
Yeah.
You got to give John Nolte some.
Yeah,
kudos for that.
Yeah.
What a couple of clowns, he says. Yeah, I mean, it really is bizarre. These people go on the air every day. They tell you how evil he is. They literally were doing it for years.
Oh, yeah.
And then they show up and congratulate him for winning? I mean, see, that's the thing that you can always do is, I always say, remember the source. Remember the source. Remember where you heard that and who told you that. Now, in this case, the things that they said about Trump came right out of their mouths. So consider that lack of credibility moving forward. They never had credibility in my mind because I played that game years ago with them, and the things that they said all turned out to be lies. So that I didn't have to play that game with them again. But yeah, they'll probably keep their gig, probably keep on going, and they'll be brainwashed, silly folks that'll continue to follow and listen and believe the garbage that comes out of their trashy little mouths. All right. Don't go anywhere. Very special cause this time of year. The Marines do a great job. Toys for Tots. Patrick Joint from Marion County is going to be in the studio in just minutes right here on 97.3 The Sky.
Here we go. What do you want to start with?
It's a mess.
A mess.
Trash Talking Tuesday.
Dirty mud.
Getting dragged through the mud.
Brought to you by Florence Recycling.
It's time to clean it up.
Satisfaction guaranteed or double your trash back. This is Trash Talking Tuesday. News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Good morning. Welcome. Stay warm. It's 8:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, also brought to you by Florence Recycling. We're not talking trash. We're talking toys. We're talking tots. And we're talking to Patrick Joint right now. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Just happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service in the Marines.
Yes, sir.
Very much appreciated. And the Marine Corps instrumental Toys for Tots. In fact, what can you give us a brief history on that relationship?
Oh, well, okay. This is our 77th year. This started in 1947. This all came about with the World War II orphans. A guy by the name of Bill Hendrickson wanted to do something for this. He saw a need, and so he'd started this. So that year, they did about 5,000 kids. His wife, she told him to do it, so he did it. And the next year, the Commandant of the Marine Corps saw it and said, hey, you know what? This is great. The reserve Marine Corps reserves are going to take care of this from then on. So this is an official act of the Marine Corps. We've been doing it since 1947. There's 860-plus of us this year. Here's a little trivia for you.
Okay.
The logo. You'll never guess who made that logo.
Who made the
logo? He's all over Orlando.
All over Orlando. Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow.
That was almost.
Sorry.
Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Walt Disney.
Oh.
Walt Disney came up
okay.
with that logo. Yep. Pretty good. So it's just pretty amazing there. And we've been doing this for, like I said, 77 years. It's been about a little over 300 million children since we've been doing that.
300 million children have received something from Toys for Tots through the program. Wow.
Yes, sir. A toy or a book. And we're pretty much almost all year now. Things that happen, hurricanes or stuff like that, we'll go down and, you know, sling some toys out there. You know, it's really in the name, Toys for Tots. You know, it's can't be more simple.
It seems like whenever you see a location, you're like, well, I don't have a toy with me. And then you have to remember, like, that was the location.
Right.
If it's something you regularly visit, that's easy peasy. And sometimes you do it with large retailers in the past. I guess what I'm asking is, what are some of your drop-off locations now since you represent Marion County?
A lot of Publix. Not all of them, but a lot of Publix. Dollar Generals. There is actually a list on our website, which is ocala-fl.toysfortots.org. That's where you want to go. And since it's Giving Tuesday, that's definitely where you want to go to give to us as well. If you give to that website, which is particular to Marion County, the money that they give will stay in Marion County. There's also a couple of websites for the other guys around that I can give you or show you, and we can plug them as well. Gainesville is newberry-fl.toysfortots.org. The Villages, they handle a couple of counties, Lake County. That's
Sumter.
That's oxford-fl.toysfortots.org. And Citrus is beverly-hills-fl.toysfortots.org. And forgive me, coordinators, for anyone that I've misappropriated or not mentioned, you can go up and look them up online.
Yeah, that's great. And people can find the locations. It is nice when it's a retailer, though, because then you can make the purchase and the gift at the same time. What about monetary donations? How does that work?
That's fantastic. Funny you should mention that. We'll go back to our website. Go back to the website. And click on donation, you bring it up, and you donate there. Again, that takes, during the season, it takes about a week or so to hit my account. I have my own account. I have my own purchase card that I can purchase toys with. So if someone were to give me a check, they make that out to Toys for Tots. They can, that four can be a letter four, F-O-U-R, F-O-U-R-E, however they get it. I stamp it with my code, send it off to a clearinghouse, and in about 5 to 7 business days, it hits my account.
Wow. But, and so what are they? Who are the kids that benefit from the program locally?
Well, I can't say for everyone else, but more than likely, it's going to be children that are in need. And we're, you know, people are always telling me, you know, well, what about this guy? He's got a nice car or something like that. Well, you know what? I'm not the Toys for Tots police, and we don't know if that guy is, you know, hiding his car from the repo man. He must have made it, just lost his job. So it's all about giving toys to kids. So anybody that has campaign, it's going to be proof of residency, proof of assistance, and a birth certificate and a Social Security card. Now, we don't keep that, but we want to see it to make sure that we have ownership of the card. And being a divorced single father, I encourage that the mother and the father, that way the child can have Christmas at both homes.
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with doing it that way, and as long as you have some proof of residency, and that way that cuts down on any possible fraud. You hate to think that there's people like that, but unfortunately, I'm sure there's a few.
There's always a few. There's a few people that are in my phone. I save their numbers as scammers.
So they're
in there.
That are working the system. Yeah,
there's some folks that they don't want to help themselves. You know, one lady I offered many ways to get her the toys, and you know she didn't want to do that, so I didn't know what to do.
So how did you get involved, other than, you know, being a Marine, of course, you know, that's a major part of it,
but I lost a bet.
You did?
No, honestly, it's just I guess typical Marine. I saw a need for it and needed to be done, and I did it, and I said, you know what, this is pretty cool. It's a pretty amazing job.
How long have you been helping them there?
Oh geez, I've been involved since about 10 years. I've been a coordinator for about 7 years.
Wow. Well, thank you for your service to your country, and thank you for your service to Toys for Tots. And you've impacted a lot of kids' lives. And you know what? I've seen the looks on kids' faces when they receive these things. You can't describe it, and there's no kind of replacing that. It doesn't replace, you know, love or a good, secure home, but it just lets them know in an additional way that there are people that are thinking about them and care for them and want to see them have, well, you know, some happy moments.
That's in our mission. We want to make children better human beings and give them a little bit of hope for Christmas. So, you know, the tagline, every kid deserves a little Christmas. There you go with that.
I wonder if you ever had a story where a kid received something from Toys for Tots, remembers it was delivered by the Marine Corps, and then later on, that was part of the reason why maybe they joined.
There's been a few of those. I don't have any personally myself. Several years ago, Governor Rick Scott was giving out medals for appreciation medals for veterans, and I had my shirt on with me. He said he was a recipient of Toys for Tots, which I was like,
"Yeah, he grew up in a poor family."
Yep.
You're right.
He was the recipient of Toys for Tots. I was really impressed with that. There's been a few. I'm sure that on our website, which is just toysfortots.org, that they have stories like that. They're always asking for stories like that. So if you got a story like that, please contact your local coordinator or contact me at ocala-fl.toysfortots.org. That would be fantastic. Can I mention a couple of things we got going this weekend?
Sure, okay, absolutely.
So we've got Mission Barbecue is going to have a little soiree this Pearl Harbor Day, which is December 7th.
December 7th. My mom taught me that.
And then the Harley-Davidson, local Harley-Davidson down there, it's Warhorse. Mm-hmm. They're going to have something starting at 10 a.m. That's going to go for several hours. And we have Sierra Bravo is going to have this is being the second annual car show with them. That's going to be out by the Paddock Mall. And then Sunday, we're going to have, this is one of my biggest contributors. They're Wayne's World Paintball. They have the Haunted Trail here in town. So next year, I want you guys to plug that. It's the last three weekends in October. They donate anywhere, you know, they don't like me to tell the number, but too bad. I love these guys. They've donated over $57,000 in the last 3
what?
Years.
What?
Yep. We've also got Kayak Junkies.
It's really party time at Wayne's World.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. They've also got Kayak Junkies. They're going to have kayaks at Silver Springs. They're going to come out there. They're going to have, basically, it's kind of a nice tailgating party. It's just lots of food, lots of regular drinks, and then they go out and they have a good time. I don't get to do that because I've got a trailer full of toys that I need to take back to this situation. And also I need to mention Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie's been killing it. Last couple of years, I had a lady named Katie Scott. She came up to me and she said, hey, I got some money. We'd like to buy some bikes. So it started out with 18 bikes about 5 years ago. Last year, 800 bikes.
What?
Yep, wow. 800 bikes. Yep. Wow. So that wasn't all for me, but they divvied it up. So I got about 200 bikes.
But she's kind of behind that?
Yeah, she's the one that started. She's the one that came up to me. And then Winn-Dixie took it over, and they were collecting money. So this year, Winn-Dixie, nice. They decided to just do money. So they collected, oh, gosh, I don't know if they want me to mention the number, but it's a lot.
You can say substantial.
It's substantial. It's more than 10, more than 20.
I mean, we know when you get into the triple digits in your Marine, sometimes it gets a little taxing.
I can count to 23 if I'm naked.
So. Grandpa was a Navy man.
that's all right. We need a ride. So.
I was going to fill in the blank, but you beat me to it.
Never again volunteer yourself.
Thank you, Patrick Joint. We appreciate, like I said, all the fine work you're doing. Toys for Tots. Look for locations near you. You can always do a search on the web and find out. And they're participating in some great events, too. So it's a lot of fun. It's for the kids. Yeah. I love it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. And I apologize to anybody that I forgot to mention. Thank you so much.
And thank you for the hat. I will wear it proudly. It is 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got a ton of headlines and things we're going to catch up on, including the Daniel Perry trial. That's the subway guy. That's coming up. 97.3 The Sky. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy chili day. Chance to wear the jacket. I didn't do the jacket picture yet. Remind me. Because I think that's one of the newer jackets, Greg, that has not made it in the parade.
Really?
I know, hard to believe that
this
I may
be
have.
This will be a debut when it shows up?
It'll be a what?
A debut.
I think it would be. Yeah,
yes,
I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the jacket collection is ever expanding. Doesn't really matter what the weather's doing.
That's true. It doesn't matter the season. You're still going to buy one if it's a good deal.
Hey,
like
pick
it.
Your vices, man.
Sure.
It's cheaper and better for you than cocaine, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
Hey, you're not going to get any argument for me on buying stuff.
That's
that you like.
True, Mr. New Jeep.
It's
Are
new
you having
me.
Fun?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I do. I like
yeah.
it. I've always wondered why.
He's doing so many searches for Jeep stuff that's showing up on my phone, on my computer. Tell me they're not all linked.
When that first happened, about a week ago?
Yeah.
That is like, okay, that's really weird. Because we were having a discussion, and then suddenly it's popping up on his phone, and he wasn't searching for stuff.
Well, and it happened again the day after we specifically talked about a way to secure your gun.
Yes.
In your Jeep because,
you know,
people can cut your roof open or whatever.
Right.
And I'm not kidding you. First thing, you know,
I always go
to the restroom before I leave because I get the long drive. And first ad that popped up on Facebook was specifically for that, you know, how to secure your gun. And this was a console where you could do it in the console. You could do it in different places. But, yeah, that was first thing right there.
See, anybody who will still tell you, oh, it's just a coincidence.
No.
You're out of your mind.
No.
No way.
Hey, what do you think about this case? And I keep calling this poor son of a gun Perry. His name is Penny. I don't know why that's a mental block for me, but it's Daniel Penny. This guy, you know, we just had a Marine on Toys for Tots. Well, Daniel Penny is a Marine, and this is the guy that was on the subway, and this Jordan Neely fellow was, like, acting out, as in mental illness, high on synthetic marijuana and whatever, and screaming at people. The guy had been arrested 40 times in the past. He was telling people, I don't care if I go back to jail. He was very frightening. And so Daniel Penny did the right thing and subdued him. He used a chokehold to do it. The man later died. Jordan Neely died. And so they went on to try to make a case out of it, even though the police talked to him thoroughly, talked to witnesses, and said, yeah, I mean, this is a self-defense scenario. And he didn't appear that he meant to kill the guy. And in fact, the guy was alive when, you know, Penny had left the scene, so he didn't know when he was talking to officers, apparently, that the man had already died. But he gave his version. And it sounded extremely reasonable. And then when you hear from the people that were witnesses, yes, what it sounds like happened did happen. Is it sad that Jordan Neely died as a result of it? Yes. Because the guy has mental illness, he doesn't deserve to die. Because the guy is on drugs, he doesn't deserve to die. Because he's shouting at people in a threatening manner doesn't necessarily mean he deserves to die. But all Daniel Penny was trying to do was keep the people on the subway safe. And then hopefully somebody from law enforcement would be able to take over from there. And the guy would have been then arrested for the 41st time or whatever. Yeah. Now, the prosecutor in this case, which you shouldn't judge people by the way they look, but let's just say she just appears to be a very unhappy person. Would you agree with that, Greg? And you're not as quick to be nasty as I am, but isn't that fair?
Yeah.
She claimed that Penny was so reckless with Neely's life because he didn't seem to recognize his humanity.
Oh, brother.
He referred to Neely when he talked to the police as a crackhead. Well, who doesn't use that kind of term on somebody who clearly is on drugs and acting out in a crazy, aggressive way? Haven't we all used that term? Whether they're actually on crack. Oh, I'm sorry. They're on something else. Come on, lady. Give me a break. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.